You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey everyone, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I started to realize that not being an expert isn't a liability, it's a real gift.
If we don't know something about ourselves at this point in our life, it's probably because it's uncomfortable to know.
If you can die before you die, then you can really live. There's a wisdom at death's door.
I thought I was insane, yeah. And I didn't know what to do because there was no internet.
I don't know, man. I feel like everything is hard.
Hey y'all, my name is Kat. I'm a human first and a licensed therapist second. And right now, I'm inviting you into conversations that I hope encourage you to become more curious and less judgmental about yourself, others, and the world around you. Welcome to You Need Therapy. Hi, guys, and welcome to a new episode of You Need Therapy podcast. My name is Kat. I am the host. And if you are new, or maybe if you're not new and you just need a reminder, I want to let everybody know up top that although this podcast is hosted by a therapist and it's called You Need Therapy, it does not serve as a replacement or substitute for any actual mental health services. But I always hope that these episodes can help you guys in some way, wherever you are in your own story. Now, today is a solo episode, and it was inspired by some recent happenings on social media. And we're actually talking about a topic that I've brought up here multiple times before. I've done a whole episode on this before. I don't exactly remember when that was, but I feel like it may have been in the last year. But the topic is performative vulnerability. And before we get into all of the content, I want to just start with, in a nutshell, explaining what performative vulnerability is, because I feel like those are two big words. And obviously, performative, performance, and vulnerability, vulnerability. So when I put those together, what does that mean? And for me, it is essentially the act of sharing, rather oversharing, our stuff to seek some sort of validation rather than to be vulnerable. To be vulnerable, you don't really know what you're going to get, right? But when we are being performative in our vulnerability, we are looking to get a certain thing. And so our vulnerability can be manipulated and shifted and changed and twisted and turned in order to obtain that type of validation, attention, affirmation that we're seeking. And the reason I wanted to talk about this again is because I think that doing one episode on this and then like hoping that it just sticks with all of us, it's like the same idea where I sometimes have to read the same books over again, or I have to practice the same skill over again, because just learning it and then like moving on with my life, if I never use it again or never pay attention to it again, I'm going to lose it.
And so I thought that it would be helpful because I continue to see this stuff everywhere. I can fall into this category sometimes. I see other people fall into this category sometimes. And so it just is helpful to come back to it every now and then and talk about it and talk about why it's important and how we can help ourselves, which might help other people, but really the only people we can control is ourselves. So how can we help ourselves live more authentically and less performatively? Which I get it. Before we get into this, I feel like there's like so many caveats and thing and disclaimers I want to put out here, which I'm not going to. That's part of, you know, I'm being vulnerable here, and that is, I'm not going to be able to protect or make sure that you guys hear everything I'm saying in the right way. But I do want to say that I totally get why we would be doing this. And I get into that a little bit. And in here, I don't want to send the message that I'm trying to shame or pick sides of these people are good and these people are bad, or these people are better than these people because they do this and they don't do this. I get it. This is a human. I mean, we're all out here trying to be human and trying to survive. And this is something that comes up. So I want to first start with talking about the differences between being vulnerable and receiving vulnerability, because it is a different experience. When we receive somebody's vulnerability, we experience something very different inside of us, for the most part, than when we are being vulnerable ourselves. And if that is confusing to you, then you can simply just think about a time when somebody has been vulnerable with you. This can be in person. It can even be online. It can be in this social media relationship, maybe this one-way social media relationship with an influencer, or this could be with a conversation with a friend or a human face-to-face. When I think about this, I almost imagine like a drop of tension within myself, a safeness, a closeness, a sense of connection, of not being alone, or feeling the sense of confidence in myself for being somebody that someone would want to share this information with. And what's interesting is you flip that when you're being vulnerable yourself, oftentimes the experience is very different while it's happening. There might be a lot of fear and increase in our heartbeat, even like physical experiences are different. Maybe possible racing thoughts, wondering if there's going to be a loss of connection versus this gain. And this is a much more stressful role to be in, which makes sense that people would be hesitant to step into this role. There's a lot of risk in being the one offering the vulnerability, right? The reward can be huge and the risk can be great as well. And I will be the first to admit, I love being on the receiving end of vulnerability. I love it so much that I've actually made it my job. And I think people assume that because this is my job, I love to be vulnerable myself. And it comes really easy and natural to me. And that I love having deep conversations about my mistakes and fears and imperfections and the inside of me that you can't always see. And for the people that are assuming that, I want you guys to know that that could not be any farther from the truth. I am just as human as anybody else. And the therapeutic relationship is really interesting because while I am there to provide a safe space and a container, and the work I do is very much relational, the work I do is also very much not about me. I have to check a lot of my stuff at the door. And sometimes that's tough. And sometimes it's a blessing because I get to take myself out of that experience. My stuff is going to show up because I'm a human and you can't completely be a blank slate. But that gets to be part of my job, that I get to turn that part of me off for a little bit. And I have to be vulnerable to extent in my job because I have to be able to take risks with my clients and do things that sometimes feel uncomfortable or there's unknown and where it's going to go. But for the most part, my job does not involve the risk of sharing my own story in a way that I'm not comfortable with. And this topic always makes me think about the conversation I had with JP Sachs on here about a year and a half or maybe a year ago. I don't exactly remember when that was. But I asked him what it was like for him specifically as a man to be as vulnerable as he is with his music, to which he replied, to my surprise, but he replied with something along the lines of, it is actually one of the least vulnerable things he does. And he curates his music to sound exactly how he wants it to sound, to tell the story exactly the way he wants to tell it, in a way that kind of removes the vulnerability from that experience. And there might be vulnerability in sharing something you've worked really hard on and you want people to enjoy it, but the vulnerability about the emotions or the story is somewhat lost during that curation process of the song itself. And I have so much appreciated him saying that. And the reason I come back to that so often is because it has been so helpful for me specifically to understand the world differently. And it kind of was one of those moments where it was like, oh, whoa, like red flag, Catherine, you are assuming so many things about what people share. You're assuming that people have not taken the time to write this story exactly how it needs to be in a way that removes the uncertainty or the risk that might be involved. And I think that what's interesting is risk is defined by each of us separately. What is risky for me emotionally might not be risky for somebody else. And so I'm not saying that because that's JP Sachs's experience, that every artist is not being vulnerable by sharing certain emotions and certain stories and certain songs, because I don't think that's true. I think that what it really taught me is that I can't assume that that is true about everybody, and I can't assume that that's not true about people. We just don't know, and we have to really monitor how we are putting our own stories on other people without having all of the information. So it was really less about what I'm saying there. It was less about him, and it was more about checking like what I'm showing up with and what I'm just like putting on people. And maybe this would be helpful to define vulnerability, so we are all kind of on the same page. But I really like the way Brené Brown defines vulnerability as uncertainty, risk, and emotional exposure. And she says to be vulnerable means to be secure enough within yourself that you are able to show up and be seen without any armor on, without carrying around your masks. We feel vulnerable when we step out of our comfort zone or do something that forces us to loosen or let go of control. And there's different, I think, levels of vulnerability, right? I think that sometimes we can be completely vulnerable, and sometimes there are certain spaces that we can't be vulnerable in, and we do feel a little bit more comfortable there, maybe because we've been there before and we've experienced some things before, or because we are maybe more secure in different areas of our life. And what we cannot judge is what is vulnerable for other people, which is really hard. And it's hard for me. I think there are some universal things that like, oh, that would be vulnerable no matter who you are. And there are some things that I'd be like, oh gosh, I don't know that I could do that. But for somebody else, that might not feel like a vulnerable experience. And there's so many different examples of that I don't even think we could like start to get into it. But I do want to talk about something recently that actually inspired me bringing this up.
You dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that Healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
A couple weeks ago, or maybe it might have been months ago, I don't know, there was a trend going around on social media where basically somebody would post a carousel of pictures and the first one would say, "Instagram is fake. Here are a list of things that are true about me," or something along like those lines. And then the person and the other pictures in of the carousel would post a series of seemingly vulnerable confessions about themselves and possible struggles that they have. And before I say anything else, because I really don't want to send the wrong message, I am not taking a stand here on if I think this trend is good or bad. Like most things, I think it can be both. What I am taking a stand on is something that I noticed happening both on social media and more specifically within myself that caused me to pause. And the first thing I noticed was when I saw one of these stories, I was like, oh gosh, that's interesting. I think about that too. Like, shoot, that's more common maybe than I thought it was. And then that thing that I connected to, I started thinking about way, way more. So it was interesting, like it allowed this thought that I didn't really like, that I thought I was alone in, it then allowed it to show up more and more and more, and I didn't really like that, but I don't necessarily think that's good or bad. And then I kind of went on with my life, and then this trend started getting more popular. And as the trend became more popular and I started seeing more of them, I started noticing, rather than me connecting with the things that people were saying, I started noticing different things popping up in my head, like, one, these posts seem to be getting progressively more detailed and personal. Also, I wondered what I would share if I posted one of these. And then I was wondering, well, why haven't I posted one of these? Why have I not sat down and done this? Why haven't I engaged in this? And then I wondered, well, should I be sharing this? Like, would that be inappropriate, or do I need to? Am I avoiding something? Am I not avoiding something? Like, all these more personal things kept popping up within myself. And I have a hard time. I've spoken about this a lot. And if I talk about this with people in my own personal life quite often, I have a hard time genuinely leaning into social media vulnerability, because I'm a really true skeptic and have become a true skeptic of intention in the past 3 to 5 years, probably. So much of social media is now in some way connected to profit, whether that's financial profit, social profit, any of those kinds of things. And yes, I do think the authenticity and the real vulnerability is out there. But I also have been duped enough times to walk through those waters with a lot more caution than I used to, because I want to be that person that trusts everybody. And I think that's naturally who I am. And I've learned that I need to be for my, not for other people, not so I can call other people out or tell other people what to do, so I can be more aware of what I'm seeing and not read too much into things and then start comparing myself to something that might not be what it is trying to show up as. And in the moment I wondered what I would share if I posted, I found myself being very hesitant in allowing certain parts of my story to be in the running of that post. And at first I was really hard on myself for this. And it was almost as if for a second, this trend that I originally assumed was created to help me feel more normal. And it did with the first post that I saw. It was actually one of my friends that posted it. And for a second, this trend that I originally assumed was created to help us feel more normal, and it did for a second with me, then started to encourage me to question my authenticity. Why didn't I feel okay posting the deepest stuff, the most vulnerable things about me? As I was thinking about what I would post, I was only okay posting the vulnerable parts I wasn't really worried about, which is that really vulnerability? What kind of vulnerability is that? Selective vulnerability, is that a thing, and is that good or bad? It for a second felt like I was only going to give, you know, in quotes, just enough to gain some attention of that trend and to be included in that trend, but not too much that it would cause a moderate amount of discomfort within me. And so that kind of rattled me for a second. I felt a little bit like like fraud. Like, what? Why can't I share this? I should be, of all people, someone that's okay with doing that. Like, all of these pressures I was putting on myself. Nobody put those on me. I put them on myself. And then I paused and I checked the facts and I quickly remembered the first part of that trend. Instagram is not real. The entire point of that trend was calling out Instagram not being real. And I sat with that and I actually don't agree with that. I don't agree with that sentence. I believe Instagram sometimes is real and sometimes it's not real. And sometimes when it is real, it's also not the whole story. Instagram is a tool. It's something we use to get certain needs met, whether it's entertainment, connection, affirmation, distraction, the list could go on forever. And we use that tool in different ways depending on the feelings we are sitting with or avoiding and the need we are after. And just like JP curates the stories and the emotions shared within his music, we have the tendency to twist and shift and lighten and blur and rotate the content we share. And it might not be fake. It might not be lies, but it also might not be as raw as we intended, because vulnerability feels like removing our armor. And if we are being vulnerable on social media, we are then removing our armor and jumping into the dumpster fire of online commentary and judgment, which to me can really sound like insanity. I don't know that that is necessary for me at this moment in my life or anybody. I don't get to decide that for other people. I get to decide that for myself. And I've noticed that vulnerability seems at times like it's been touted as the morally higher place to be, where admiration, affirmation, and attention are given to those, in quotes, willing or, in quotes, courageous enough to enter this raw space. And I'm not saying it's bad or wrong. Again, this whole episode is about me noticing things and sitting with things. And as I'm noticing things and sitting with things, I am noticing and have noticed that admiration, affirmation, and attention are all things we search for in our attempt to feel a semblance of love and connection. And this sometimes provides us with a more manufactured version of what we're desiring. I believe things like attention at times can be this manufactured, man-made version of love. And I do believe people can be vulnerable on social media. I believe sometimes this is healthy and sometimes it goes a little far. And I also think we muddy the waters, or we have muddied the waters, of where armor is protection and where it is seen as weakness. And what I want to share with you guys is that the line can be and will look different for everybody. And it will also change throughout our lives. Through this experience for myself, as I was contemplating, like, what should I post this, or should I post this? What would I post? Why can't I post this? I was giving myself the, like, but mom, all my friends are doing it vibes, contemplating engaging with this trend, until my own armor replied, well, if all your friends jumped off a bridge, would you? Which was obviously such an annoying thing when your mom or dad or whoever would say that to you, but also one of the most helpful snaps into reality I think that I have sometimes. So for me, the armor stayed on and that post hasn't been made. I'm not saying it never will be made, but I didn't do it. Not because fear of my own fear or fear of being vulnerable or any of that, but because I listen to my fear. Fear oftentimes keeps us safe, and to be fearless would be, I believe, wildly negligent. Sometimes I do things while being afraid, and sometimes I don't do things because I'm afraid. And it's not this one size fits all feeling. To really understand what our feelings are telling us, we have to listen to them. We can't just say, oh, this means this, and this means this, and this means this, and this doesn't matter here, and this doesn't matter here. In every situation, those feelings are going to pop up saying different things. We have to take the space and the time to listen to them. And, you know, this has been coming up a lot too. Like, the way social media just moves so fast, you know, like trends are moving, these things are cycling, information gets out so fast. We live in a very speedy world. And I think part of that creates, specifically for me, this urge to act immediately, right? Because I'm going to either miss the trend, or I'm going to be, you know, why didn't I just have an answer for that? Like, even sometimes I find myself on this podcast feeling like I have to respond to certain questions or comments or whatever it is in a very efficient manner, because if I take time to think about it, what does that mean? And I have been really working on slowing down my responses, whether that's to my friends, to my family, to myself, to social media, put some space between some of the judgments I make often on some of the stuff I do see on social media, whether that's judgment of something positive or negative. I think part of that might come from, I see a lot of people being called out on social media, specifically more prominent people with large followings, for not responding in the manner that the people that follow them would like them to. And we forget that we're all humans trying to like survive. And sometimes we need space to figure out what we want to say. And sometimes it's not necessary for us to respond to everything. But what I know right now is if I were to engage in that trend, it wouldn't be to help others feel more connected. It wouldn't be to show others that they're not alone or to normalize certain things. You know, all the like altruistic reasons out there. It would have been to engage in a trend that was giving people attention. And that is me being honest. It would have been to get attention. And my fear was saying, hey, you might want to sit this one out right now. It's not for you. This might not be for you. I also noticed guilt and shame that came up in that as well. And when I allowed myself to sit in those feelings, I was able to understand that that guilt and shame was not just connected to the vulnerable parts of me, to me being vulnerable, which then created like more shame within myself when I just assumed that if I feel this shame, it must be because I'm ashamed of what my vulnerabilities are. And then I felt shame for being shameful of my vulnerabilities, and like the cycle would never end. But when I sat and listened to those feelings, I noticed it's not so much that I was ashamed of sharing those things. It's because my intention in sharing was not connected to my value system.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
So I used to follow this content creator on Instagram who had an account where she would post pranks that her and her partner and then later her friends would like pull on each other. They're really funny. They're sometimes pretty extreme. And as I followed her, they began to get more and more extreme. And I kind of started wondering, like, how are you guys still falling for these? Like, what? I feel like I would just like know at a certain point. And eventually I saw a video that she posted where she outed herself, saying that like they were staged, these things were not real, and that she also was posting videos that she made with other people under other accounts that also were not real. And not all of those were pranks. Some of them were really these like more vulnerable emotional videos that I would always fall for these like tearjerker moments, that those moments that you're like, it's kind of convenient that somebody caught that on tape, you know? And she outed herself for that, basically saying that she sees social media as entertainment and reality TV as entertainment. And we know that that's not real. So why should social media have to be real? And it shouldn't be treated differently. And now she was also promoting this business where she could coach you to become viral and teach you how to make viral videos and da 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 da. I ended up unfollowing her. And what really, I think, gets me about performative vulnerability is that the message that is sent is, I'm sharing this to help others, to be selfless. I'm sacrificing safety for the greater good. But when vulnerability is performative, that's not true. That is an act, much like these videos that this person was posting. They were acts. They were not real. And while I cannot stop people from doing that, and that's not my goal here, because I know that I can't, and also like I'm not in charge of other people, we don't have to fall for these anymore. We don't have to continue to be, I guess the word is like, ignorant to the fact that this stuff exists. Performative vulnerability doesn't just annoy me. I think it sometimes shows up as that and how I respond to it. It hurts, and it hurts our community. And when we see curated vulnerability and assume it's armorless, we can end up confusing our right to privacy with being emotionally locked in a safe. And I believe that's what was really happening with me, is I was kind of putting these expectations on myself and telling myself that I am not as emotionally free and authentic as I should be, when really, like, maybe I just was practicing my right to privacy, and social media isn't the place that I'm going to share certain parts of my life. It does not mean that that has to be true for everybody. And to be very clear, I don't have rules or guidelines or expectations for what you or anyone else should be posting or sharing on the internet. And I don't think that the trend that I'm talking about is unhealthy or toxic. I don't think everyone who engaged in it was performing or lying or shouldn't have done it. I actually liked a lot of the posts. Some of my friends posted and engaged in these posts. I just want us to remember that social media is sometimes real, it's sometimes fake, and sometimes it's just not the whole story. And I do think it's okay for us not to share the whole story. The caveat is, unless you are sending the message that you are, because then you're just lying. And isn't that the problem? I don't think there's a problem with that content creator staging these things. My problem was that before you kind of outed yourself, you were sending the message and you were telling us that that was real. And that, I think, is what causes a lot of confusion in our communities and within ourselves, that we are seeing things that are fake and we are being told that they're real. And our brains are having to make sense of that and adjust to that. And it's messing with us. And so, you know, you hear all the time, and I think that's part of what this trend was, is that the problem is that social media is a highlight reel. I don't think that the problem with social media is that it's a highlight reel. I said this many times before. I love the idea of our Instagram feeds being like a scrapbook of our favorite moments of our lives. I think that's fine. I don't think we need to post every ugly photo of ourselves. Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with that, of choosing the photo that you look the best in and posting that. That totally makes sense. I don't think that it is probably helpful for some of us to be posting photos that actually don't look like us, because then it confuses us when we see ourselves in the mirror. But I don't think it's wrong for us to be posting our favorite moments and the best parts of our lives to this scrapbook of our lives. The problem is when we tell the lie that the highlight reel is the whole story, or when we assume that the highlight reel is the whole story, right? I'm taking accountability for that. When I assume that somebody else's highlight reel is their whole story, that's the problem. The problem is not that they posted it. It's the assumptions that I made up about it that they might have not said. No one owes anybody else the sacred parts of their story. Everyone has the right to privacy. If I am assuming and comparing the insides of my story to the outsides of somebody else's, that is actually on me, not that person. I don't think that keeping things to ourselves is always, or really usually, because we're being fake. There are a million reasons that you might not want to share something. And one of them can simply be because you don't want to. I can't be the judge of other people's vulnerability. I don't have the ability, even as a therapist, to know 100% when somebody's being real and when somebody's being performative. And I don't know, maybe there's room for both, for that to be two things to be happening at the same time within that. But what I do know is that we can become more in tune with how we approach our own actions and behaviors and how we show up to this space. And this conversation and this episode is not about calling other people out. It's about encouraging us to become more aware of ourselves, which I really, really want to make sure I'm saying very clearly. I am not policing, and I don't, oh my gosh, I do not want to. I think there are parts of myself that I used to really want to do this, and it still might come up every now and then, but I'm not policing what other people share, how people share, when they're, the fact that they are being performative. I'm not like, you can't be on social media anymore because you're using it to get attention, or I'm not policing that. I want us to be able to police what we are doing with ourselves and how we are engaging with the content that we see. Because sometimes it's real, sometimes it's fake, and sometimes it's just not the whole story. And that's okay. And what I came to within this is that I don't need to be posting this trend because I would be doing it in a performative way. And that's okay. That doesn't mean that there's something wrong with me. That doesn't mean that I'm inauthentic. That just might mean that, like, that is not the place that I go to show up in those ways. Doesn't mean I'm not vulnerable in other areas of my life. And we actually don't have to be vulnerable in every single area of our life, right? I do really think that would be probably unhealthy for a lot of us to do. You know, I think that it can be really helpful when there are people in the world who are showing parts of their story that not all of us choose to show. I think that can be really helpful. And I also, at the same time, want us all to realize and to know that even when somebody is doing that, they still might be holding certain parts of their story close to their chest. And I want the people that are doing that to know that that's okay to do that, and you don't have to act like you're not. So to wrap this up, I really just want to give us all permission to engage in social media in the way that makes sense for us, and to take in content that is helpful for us, and to move past content, unfollow content, disregard content that doesn't fit for us, that isn't helpful for us in the moment. And that, again, can be constantly evolving. So if you have any questions, feedback, comments, feel free. You can email me, Catherine@youneedtherapypodcast.com. If you want to follow the podcast, you can @youneedtherapypodcast. And you can follow me @cat.defada. And I will be back with you guys on Wednesday for Couch Talks. Until then, I hope you have the day you need to have.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that Healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.